Samuel chapter 22, lengthy section here, 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 51. It's going to be a three-part series that we have here. Remember, 2 Samuel chapter 22 is almost identical with Psalm 18. So Psalm 18, 2 Samuel 22, written by the same person, David. And very, very many parallels and identical wording and so on. So David wrote both of these. Both of these psalms, you might say, or songs. So as we're going through 2 Samuel, we're seeing the structure that the Lord gives us called a chiastic structure. That is, it looks like half of an X, so where the Bible takes us into a passage and then brings us back out. This is represented, the Greek letter, chi. And so it looks like an X, but it's really a CH. It's the first letter on Christos for the name Christ. But what the writer does, he takes us into a center point and then pulls us back out with parallel and reversed order of points. So we've seen this throughout, and we begin to look for this everywhere we are in the Scripture. So in 2 Samuel 22, the way I've tried to give you this organization, which seems to be the point here, is we've got, once again, in this section here, which is dealing with, the whole section here, A, B, C, B prime, A prime. So here is my rock. David talks about my rock. He says, talks about my rock here. That's the Lord. Talks about obeying the Lord. Salvation, and salvation from enemy. These points, and then here we have his obedience, obeying the Lord. So, talks about Jehovah as his rock, and there I mentioned last time he gave nine synonyms for the Lord here. Likewise, down here at the tail end of this chapter, around verse 51, the Lord is his rock. Talks about salvation from enemies, and why is this possible? Because David obeyed the Lord. David obeyed the Lord. So our focus here is now on him obeying the Lord in verses 21 through 28. So this is the focus of this section. What David wanted his audience to hear: Lord is his rock, deliver him from his enemy, because David was obedient to the Lord. Obedient to the Lord. And so We'll look at all this. So we're in verses 21 through 28. 21 through 28. And so here, let me read verse 21. Get started here. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. So notice all that. Lord, reward me. So, me, my is found in here and so on. Why? We see in verse 22, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. So here he's making this claim. Now, remember the head of this section here, back in verse 1, says, 22:1, David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So he talks about two deliverances in reverse order. He delivered them out of the hand of Saul first, obviously. And then, as we see, we move through 1 Samuel, then into 2 Samuel, the Lord began to remove him out of all of his enemies. So David's writing this at the tail end of his life. He reflects back on the beginning of his life, his life as a servant, how the Lord delivered him from the hands of Saul. That's his focus here. That's what is going to be the way that helps interpret the passage that we have here. Helps interpret the passage. So here is his claim of obeying the Lord. I've kept the ways of the Lord, he says in verse 22. Verse 23, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. So we see this expression that he's making here. So in making this expression, how do we square this up with his sin with Bathsheba, right? So I know you're asking that. Yeah, I knew you were asking that. So how do we square it up with the sin of Bathsheba? All right, well, number one, he's talking about primarily his deliverance from Saul, but also with regard to others as well. So let's begin to look at some passages. So these passages really are going to be our focus point, so that the rest of this section here from 21 to 28 makes sense to us. So let's begin to look at several passages. 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. And so here is the beginning of David's respect for the office of king. So there in 1 Samuel 26, verse 23, when his men say to David, kill David when you have an advantage. Verse 23 says, the Lord rendered every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, says Saul, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. So he obeyed the Lord there. He obeyed the Lord. He could have killed Saul when he came into the cave. His men, Abishai and others, were saying, cut his head off, kill him. David said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm not going to kill the Lord's anointed. He was still king. Saul was still king there. So we see David's behavior relative to Saul. Then let's also look, notice in 1 Kings, this is later on, but in 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, notice 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, 1 Kings 11 is the terrible chapter of Solomon's fall. But 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 says, 1 Kings 11, 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You see, there's the testimony of the writer of Scripture, probably Jeremiah, saying that Solomon's heart was not perfect with the Lord as was David his father. That's what Scripture said. That's not what I'm saying. What Scripture said. So you see, in the case of Saul, David said in his heart and then to his men, I'm not going to kill the Lord's anointed. That'd be contrary to the Lord's will. This passage says that Solomon's heart was not perfect with the Lord as was David's heart. So if you've got a problem, talk to the author of this passage. All right? All right, then let's notice another passage. 1 Kings chapter 14. These are kings coming after David, obviously. 14 verse 8. 1 Kings 14, 8 says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Who's saying that? Jehovah's saying that. Wait a minute. This is the David we know? That's right. That's what it says. That he kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart. Pastor says that. Talking about David, right? talking about David. Well, how about this verse? 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. 1 Kings 15, 5. That talks about Abijam's evil rule. But anyway, verse 5 says, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Yeah, all days of his life, exception. Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So the Lord doesn't skim over this. But other than that event, David kept the Lord's law and his commandments and so on and so forth. Follow this? That's what Scripture's saying here. So the Lord doesn't ignore what David did with Bathsheba and Uriah. But other than that, David's life was one where he followed the Lord. Now, there's some other episodes, like when he numbered the people, but we'll get to all these things. But you see, here, David's testimony relative to Saul was that he did not kill the Lord's anointed. He wasn't going to do that. Then Jeremiah, who wrote 1 Kings, indicated that David followed the Lord with all his heart. And now the Lord himself is saying, except for the episode with Uriah, David followed the Lord and his word. So when David says, I've not sinned, I've obeyed the Lord, and so on and so forth, he's talking here about his overall life, to be sure. And the only area that is not true is with Uriah the Hittite. Now let's notice, not only with Saul, did he behave righteously? Let's notice with Jonathan. First Samuel 20 once again. So here's with Jonathan. Who's Jonathan? Saul's son. Chapter 20, verse 42. We can read the whole chapter for that matter, but tail end of the chapter, notice the covenant that David made with Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son. And Jonathan said, so this is 1 Samuel 20, verse 42, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and thy seed forever, my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So Jonathan wanted his seed not to be killed by David, because Jonathan's seed would have been Saul's seed. And so he didn't want the whole household of Saul destroyed. And so he asked David to spare Jonathan's seed, which he did. And who was Jonathan's son? Mephibosheth. Remember that? Mephibosheth. So, but also David's Saul's son was Ishbosheth. And grandson was Mephibosheth. So let's look now at Ishbosheth. This is 2 Samuel, chapter 4. 2 Samuel 4. So recall this. Two men go in, 4:7, 2 Samuel 4:7, go in, and they kill Ishbosheth. That's Saul's son. Kill Ishbosheth while he's sleeping. Midday, and David is very upset, and he has these two men killed. So David honored Ishbosheth, who was trying to take over the kingdom as a rogue king. And but David honored Saul and Ishbosheth and killed the two men that killed David's enemy unrightfully. But they killed him unrightfully. All right, so here we have Ishbosheth. And then we have Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And there we recall the situation with Ziba. And Ziba at this point was Mephibosheth's servant. And so in 9:7, David said, for I will surely show thee kindness, speaking to Mephibosheth, for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So, relative to Saul, who was trying to kill David, and the Lord delivered him from Saul, and all of Saul's relatives and so on, David not only did right before Saul, he did right before Jonathan, he did right before Saul's son Ishbosheth, and he did right relative to Saul's grandson Mephibosheth. So here are four episodes that he behaved himself well, honored the word of God, and did right. Now, we can't ignore 2 Samuel 12, so let's look there. 2 Samuel 12. Nathan comes to him and says, he's the man. He's the man who's done this to Bathsheba and Uriah. Verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He admits that. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. David was forgiven of his sin. Now, remember, associated with this, Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, O Lord. Remember, he says that, Psalm 51. David wrote that psalm, came from his heart. Nathan tells him, the Lord has forgiven you. He's put away thy sin. All right, so what was the sin? Bathsheba, Uriah. All right, our 1 Kings 15:5 says, it doesn't forget this. All right, so this is critical. Now, again, and I touched on this last week, but let's look there in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. So we've gone down this road several times, so you're getting this in your memory now. All right, that's good. That way you can help somebody else. Acts 13:36, here's what Paul said about David. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, now, he's bringing up a different point, that he's the one who he died, but not the prophecy about the Messiah. But anyway, the point is, David served his own generation for 40 years or more by the will of God. So David says, that doesn't put a footnote and say, oh yeah, except for Uriah and Bathsheba. Just makes a general statement there. Why is this the case? Well, as we looked last time in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, here we see the people of faith. The people of faith, and so we have a slew of people, Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, also of Samuel and the prophets. So in other words, these were all men of faith. Now, how is it in Hebrews 11, the Lord, or Paul, doesn't bring out their sins? Because their sins have been forgiven and forgotten by the new covenant. By the new covenant. So, the new covenant found in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Let's look in Jeremiah 31 this time. This is the new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, new covenant is what Christ ratified when he died on the cross, and the provisos of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31. Where in the new covenant, anybody who from the time of the cross following fall under the provisos of the new covenant. So notice the new covenant provisos found. First of all, mentioned in verse 31, I will make a new covenant. Verse 31. And then in verse 34, last part of it is, for I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. So those that are under the new covenant, which we are, have their sins forgiven and forgotten. Amen. Forgiven and forgotten. So here, as Paul in Acts 13 talked about David, David realized this. David didn't bring up Paul did not bring up David's sins. So he served his generation. He served his generation in the will of God. So he didn't bring up his sins. Why? Because it's been forgiven and forgotten. And David himself recognized, wait a minute, my sin with Uriah and Bathsheba has already been forgiven. So other than that, I have obeyed the Lord in my believer's life. See, so he recognized the sins were forgiven, and probably proleptically, he also realized what the new covenant would bring for his sins to be forgiven and forgotten as well. So he's just speaking that he has done right before the Lord, what he's saying here. And so we see the biblical pattern that we have in here. So this is true then for we who are believers today who are under the new covenant. So here the Lord looks on our life and says, here is Saint so-and-so. They have been people, man or woman of faith, a boy or girl of faith. They have lived and served me faithfully in the local church. How the Lord looks on us. Our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. Now, how have we served? How we have served depends on our rewards, our loss of rewards. But he's not going to bring up our past sins. They've been forgiven and forgotten. So we have somebody in our, say we have somebody in our church named John Smith. John Smith, the Lord would say about John Smith, he has served me faithfully for his whole lifetime in this church or this church or this church. He's been faithful to me and served me, and he obeyed my commandments. You follow that? Even though he hasn't lived a perfect life. Even though there may be some sins that he committed. Then been forgiven. You follow that? So when David makes these claims, these are not contradictions of Scripture. And, oh, David, you're kind of leaving out one major thing in your life. No. David's not leaving that out. But David is saying in the passage, and it has a context that helps us to understand the context, when he's delivered out of the hand of Saul, his major enemy, and then his other enemies as well, that David can say this. He can say these things. So now we're ready to look at the section here. So verses 21 through 28, let's look first of all, 21 through 24, about his obedience to the Lord, his obedience and Jehovah. 21 through 24. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not done wickedly departed from God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. So David can say these things. He can say these things because he obeyed the Lord. See, so as a believer, could we, can we, should we, would we ever be able to say these things about ourselves? I've obeyed the Lord. Oh, I came to church today. Had my heart right with the Lord. I prayed. I live for the Lord. Can we say this? Can we say this about ourselves? Is that boasting? Well, David writes this in a psalm. He writes it so it's made public. Psalm 18 makes this public. He can make the claim there, although that doesn't mean he was perfect. We know he wasn't perfect. He can nevertheless make the claim when he sinned, he asked for forgiveness, he was cleansed, and now on this side of the cross, not only are we cleansed, our sins are forgiven, but they're forgotten. Forgotten. So this is no contradiction with 2 Samuel chapter 12 or 11 or 12. No contradiction there at all. All right. Secondly, by the way, if you were to say, no, it's a contradiction, well, then you need to try to square it up. How are you going to square it up?
Right.
I've already laid out the foundation for this. Already laid out the foundation. And the Lord didn't forget back then. 1 Kings 15:5, the Lord didn't forget, but David wasn't under the new covenant at that point. Follow that? All right. Well, anyway, so he talks about his obedience in Jehovah. Secondly, in verse 25, he talks about the cleanness of David. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. So his cleanness before the Lord, he's been recompensed. Notice the word reward, back verse 21. Recompense here, basically saying the same thing. Rewarded, recompensed. So the Lord recompensed them. Notice in 25, we see even a chiastic structure here. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me. We got the Lord. According to my righteousness, that's David's righteousness. According to my cleanness, there's B and B prime. And then back to, according to my cleanness in his sight, back to the Lord. We've got A prime, B, B prime. You see that right in one verse. You have the chiastic structure there. I mean, the Bible's just full of this, but it's for emphasis. Quite often it's for emphasis. The writers didn't have the bold shift on their keypad and so on, so they had to do this in emphasis, with emphasis. All right, and then we notice in verse 26. Here's the focal point. Focal point of this section here is the mercy of the Lord, verse 26. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou shalt show thyself upright. So here we see the Lord's showing himself merciful, showing himself upright, with the merciful and with the upright. Another chiastic structure. We just can't help it. Just can't help it. It's pour out. They're everywhere. Chiastic structure. But it helps us see what's the focus point. What's the focus point on all this? So we have the mercy of the Lord. That's the focal point here. The Lord was merciful to David. And he's merciful to all sinners. He's merciful to the unsaved sinners who do the terrible, terrible things in the world, the worst of the worst. And if that sinner will repent of sin and trust the Lord, the Lord will save. He's merciful. Amen. The believer, what about the believer? Is it possible for believers to do very, very bad, sinful things? Is that possible? It sure is. What happens if they do that? Do they lose their salvation? No. They lose their relationship with the Lord, but it can be restored, and it's restored through repentance of sin. And so the Lord can forgive and forget there for believers as well. So we see the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. After all, what's he dealing with as far as his creation? He's dealing with his creation, which is sin from the time of Adam. So he's got a sinful creation. If he's not merciful towards sinners on either side of their personal relationship with the cross, then the whole world's in a lot of trouble. But he's merciful. You see that? All right, then we're moving out of this. So we have the obedience and Jehovah, the cleanness of David. Now the mercy of Jehovah. Now we go back to the purity of Jehovah in 27a. This parallels with the cleanness of David, verse 25. 27a, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. The Lord is pure. He's pure. And so just as David claimed to be clean, the Lord, David does claim the Lord is pure, and so we see these parallel aspects once again here. And then finally, we're here at 27b through 28. And with the forward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory, and the afflicted people thou wilt say, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. So we have parallel lines here. The forward, this would be the wicked, and the haughty, so we have these parallel thoughts. And in between the parallel thoughts, what do we have? The focus in 28a, and that is, and the afflicted people thou wilt save. Those that look to the Lord, humble, trust in him, and so on, he will save them. And so here we have the disobedient and Jehovah, the forward man and the haughty man. So just as David was obedient to Jehovah, we see in the parallel point here in 27, 28, the disobedient and Jehovah. in the center section of all this is the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. So here we find David's focus here on what the Lord has done for him. And so he can make these claims. He can make these claims. These claims made under inspiration. These are claims that are testified by Jeremiah, by David, by the Lord. Threefold testimony of these claims David has made. And so this is inspired and it's appropriate. There's no error here. There's no question on David. And by example, we can say this as well. When I walked in the Spirit, filled with Spirit, walked in the Lord and so on, I was perfect. I obeyed the Lord. I lived for the Lord. I did what was right. What about when you weren't walking in the Spirit? Well, that's something else. But we make this claim for our own lives, you see. And that's what we are rewarded with, our walk in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and so on. All right, so then as we move out of this, next time we'll see, he goes back to the salvation from enemy that the Lord gave him, and then he finally concludes this with the Lord who is his rock. that's who his rock is. We see that in verse 47 through 51. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. So he's back to that rock again. So that concludes the psalm here, his testimony. So here we have David, others, and the Lord testified that the king was obedient. The king was obedient, and we also realize that the Lord forgave David for his sin, and now we see David is forgiven, his sin is forgiven and forgotten by the Lord, as we look there in Hebrews 11. So we can learn lessons here as believers in this world, what the Lord does for and towards us for our benefit and to help us as well in our Christian life. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the time we've had. We pray that you'll help us to learn this lesson from the life of David. Make the application to our lives and realize that you are merciful. We pray that you bless us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.